Well, I hate to tell you all, this ain't no Trace Adkins. I can't sing like Art, but I do get to sing one of the most beautiful songs about the most special night that ever existed. It's the night that our Christ child was born. And it was a holy night, and it was a night that we can all share because he came for us. You know the words and you know the song. Just listen as we try and say them and sing them. Oh, holy night. Oh, holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of the dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Fall on your knees, oh, hear the angel voice. Was born. Oh, night divine, oh, night. Oh, night divine. The light of faith serenely beaming, with glowing hearts by his cradle we stand. So led by light of a star sweetly gleaming, here came the wise men from Orient land. The King of Kings lay thus in lowly manger, in all our trials born to be our friend. He knows our need. Is no stranger. Behold your King before him lowly bent. Behold your love. His law is love, and his gospel is peace. Chains shall he break, for the slave is our brother, and in his name all oppression shall cease. Sweet hymns of joy in grateful chorus raise we, let all within us praise his holy name. Fall on your knees, oh hear the angel voices, oh night divine, oh night when Christ was born, oh night.
And that was beautiful. At this time, we'd like to ask our children to come forward for our children's moment. And I believe Mr. Voth has the bag for us today. Watch out. Slide in between. Thank you, sir. You followed the rules, correct? as he hurries away. Oh, is this a railroad spike? It is. All right. Y'all know what this is? It's a railroad spike. You nail this into the wood on the rail, or to keep the tracks on the wood parts of the track. Is that right? Yeah. So far, so good. All right. We're doing good. What else might this be used for? What's another name for this that you might call it? A nail, right? A giant nail, that's right. And you get to hammer it into trees, that's exactly right.
I could hammer it into that hand.
Well, you could hammer it into a hand. That's where I was going with that. That's creepy that you got ahead of me in that way. So we know Jesus, when he came and when he died, he was nailed to a tree, wasn't he?
Right. And he was nailed, a cross.
He was nailed to a cross, right? And they probably didn't use a railroad spike, but something close to that. And so they did that to nail him to the cross and to keep him on there. And so when you see nails, when you see these types of things, it reminds us of Jesus' love for us, not only in his birth that we're celebrating, but also in his death and resurrection, which we also celebrate. So let's be mindful of what this season represents and all of the things that it does for us, all right? Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, for your love and grace. We thank you for these children. We thank you for the opportunity we have to teach them and the opportunity we have to learn from them. We pray that you would keep them safe and that you would continue to remind us of the importance of this season, not only for the birth of Jesus, but also why he came to be born, that he might die and rise again for us. Lord, we love you. We thank you. We praise you and ask all of these things in Christ's name. Amen. All right, you all can return or follow Miss Vicky.
Thank you.
I gave the bag to Bruce, and he's willing to give it to the highest bidder. So please be mindful of that. Now, Bruce will find somebody to give it to, and you can bring it next week. Our scripture lesson this morning comes from Luke chapter 1, verses 39 to 45. Luke chapter 1, verses 39 to 45. Hear now the word of our Lord. Mary got up and hurried to a city in the Judean highlands. She entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. With a loud voice, she blurted out, "God has blessed you above all women, and he has blessed the child you carry. Why do I have this honor that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as I heard your greeting, the baby in my womb jumped for joy. Happy is she who believed that the Lord would fulfill the promises he made to her." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray together. Gracious God, we thank you again for this day, for the reading and the hearing of this, your word. We pray that you would be with the words you have given to me. May they be yours and not mine. May they open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, our hearts to receive, our minds to understand. And may we, in the strength of the bodies you have given to us, be faithful to your call upon us. We ask all of these things in Christ's name. Amen. I'm not sure about most of you out there this morning, but some of you may resonate with this. As a parent, Joel and Nora have caused me to look at things differently than I did before. Can anyone relate to that? All right. They've caused me to look at life differently, to question things, to be more aware of things, to see things maybe not as they are, but as maybe they were, or maybe as I used to see them. They've caused me to begin to re-wonder. That's what's so great about children, is that sense of wonder that they have and that joy that they bring with that. Now, many of you know that I am not a fan of possums. Someone thought it would be funny several years ago to get me this stuffed animal, possum. And it's ugly, it's gross, and it's in my office. But Joel and Nora think it's cute. And I've tried to re-wonder about that, but I have failed miserably. It still looks gross and disgusting. But they see things, and they see them differently than we do. What I tend to take for granted, what maybe I don't see anymore, they're seeing for the first time. They're seeing with fresh eyes. This will be Nora's third Christmas. I'm trying just to wrap my mind around that. Her third. Several of us have had many more than that. But she is seeing things with new eyes, experiencing things that we have all probably taken for granted for far too long. And we begin to see and to reevaluate the different things that we experience. The questions they ask, you know, the why question. It becomes my new lens for evaluation. They're going to ask why. That's inevitable. Do I have answers for those whys? Have I considered those whys? And they cause us to want to learn more, don't they? Because we got to answer all their questions. Every question, every statement causes me to re-wonder about things. John, in our passage this morning, causes that for us. He does that for us today. This is John the Baptist. This is not the John the Baptist we met last week. He hasn't become that guy yet. Remember, we looked at Cousin Eddie and considered how they were similar. And so this is John as he is in the womb. He is 6 months along before he becomes John the Baptist, John the Baptizer. He hears this greeting from Mary, the mother of Jesus, and he leaps for joy. He jumps for joy. Now, we can safely assume that neither Elizabeth, and certainly not John, neither of them knew anything about Mary's pregnancy until this point. until this point. And Mary is very early on in her pregnancy at this point. Mary, we know, knows about Elizabeth's pregnancy. She's heard that from the angel who has spoken that to her. But Elizabeth and John know nothing about this. And when Mary greets Elizabeth, John jumps for joy. He leaps. Mary's greeting serves as a catalyst for John's prophetic life. This is John's first prophecy, and he's not even born yet. This is who he will be, the one who will prepare the way. John's leaping then becomes a catalyst for Elizabeth receiving the Holy Spirit. We hear it very plainly read here, and we see it as we read it, that Mary comes and greets Elizabeth. When Elizabeth hears the greeting, John is the one who jumps. And after John leaps in the womb, Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Spirit. And when Elizabeth hears the Holy Spirit and receives the Holy Spirit, she prophesies. It says she blurts out loudly these words. And this becomes a catalyst for Mary's prophetic words in verses 47 and following that we read earlier, known as Mary's Magnificat. And all of this serves as a catalyst for our realization of God's saving work in the Messiah. The reason we're joyful this morning is because John leapt. The reason we wonder this morning is because Mary and Elizabeth prophesied, because the Christ has come. All of this serves as a catalyst for us. Jesus' life, we know, is a very interesting life. One of the things that I find most fascinating about his life is that his life, his message, and his purpose and his ministry are bookended by faithful women. We have faithful women here at the beginning of his birth. We have Mary and Elizabeth prophesying about the coming Messiah, telling the good news to each other and undoubtedly preparing to tell it to others. And then at the end of Jesus' life, we have his mother, we have a couple other Marys, not a lot of name choices back then, and some other ladies, and they come to the tomb on the third day, ready for one thing, but then going out and sharing the news of another, of his resurrection. Jesus' ministry and life are bookended by these faithful women who proclaim the good news for the first time. Here it is, the good news of the birth of the long-awaited Messiah. In a few years, in April, when we celebrate Easter, it will be the good news of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we see and we know and we experience in this passage that Jesus, the Messiah, has come to those who are marginalized, those in society that we maybe don't see. Our children see. Our children ask questions. Our children wonder. And we're left to re-wonder, to re-see, to re-evaluate those people that we come into contact with. The marginalized here in this story specifically would, of course, be Elizabeth and Mary. Elizabeth, well beyond the age of childbearing years, has conceived and is getting ready to give birth to John. Mary, on the other side, a scandalous pregnancy, to say the least. And then we have John, this unborn child, certainly marginalized, certainly not yet seen as a person, at least in terms of their society. And unfortunately, that tends to be the case in our own as well. And so now we begin to look at Jesus differently. We begin to understand things a little differently. This season begins to mean more to us as we look at it differently. But we must not forget the joy, the childlike wonder. Because as we re-wonder, as we re-see, as we re-evaluate, the joy and the wonder becomes that much more powerful. It becomes that much fuller within each and every one of us. And John does this for us today. Christ does this for us. They cause us to look at things differently. Hopefully this morning, hopefully in this season, we will reevaluate and re-see and re-wonder what it means to be a Christian. Now, how do we typically define a Christian? This is where you tell me what a Christian is. Sorry? Follower of Jesus. What else? Maybe they've asked Jesus into their heart, right? Thus the following. Do they go to church usually on a regular basis? They go to Sunday school, right? They put the money in the plate, right? Hopefully. Is that all there is to being a Christian? That's the beginning of it. That's what we typically answer with people when they ask us about Christianity, unfortunately, and I think that's why so many people aren't here, because they don't quite understand it. We've not shared with them the joy of what it means to be a Christian the way that we should. Hopefully Joe and Mike are out doing that right now, taking that joy to them, serving as that catalyst for them. Let's consider what Jesus' response, his response to John the Baptist several years later. John the Baptist is in prison, and he sends some of his disciples to Jesus to find out if he is the Messiah or if there is another that they should be awaiting. And how does Jesus answer him? He says, the deaf hear, the blind see, the lame walk. Those who are hungry are being fed. Those who are thirsty have something to drink. Those who are naked are being clothed. Those who are sick or in prison are being visited. Well, that's a lot different than we tend to think about, isn't it? It causes us to reevaluate, to re-wonder, to re-see. Is it necessary to evaluate and to reconsider our Christianity and how we understand Jesus? Absolutely it is. You see, until Mary and Elizabeth hear this news, until they are confronted by these angels, it's business as usual. It's just another day. It's just life. And then they hear these astounding things that are going to take place. And everything changes. They begin to see things differently. They begin to understand now all of the things that have been shared and said up to this point. They begin to get a sense of hope and joy for what can be. I think they begin to see things from a mother's perspective. Joseph and Zechariah begin to see life differently as well, from the perspective of a father. Hopefully they're all beginning to see things from the perspective of the Father. And how much better is that? How different is that from the way we tend to look at things? The Christ child becomes a victorious Savior. Hello, Jesus. You are coming. You are almost here. May we leap for joy. May we prophesy the good news of Jesus Christ. May we know that we have the opportunity to serve as a catalyst in someone's life the same way John has done so, and Elizabeth and Mary, and of course Jesus and others. Let us think of those who have served as catalysts in our own lives to bring about this good news, and may we do that and be that catalyst for others. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, for all that you have given to us, for all that you continue to do in our midst. Lord, it is a season of wonder. It is a season of joy and hope and peace and love. May that be a reality for us. May we spend the next few days and weeks really evaluating and re-seeing and re-wondering about all of this, so that we might draw closer to you, so that we might help draw others closer to you. And so this season may mean more than it typically does. We love you. We thank you, we praise you, and ask all of these things in Christ's name. Amen.